Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Come on, you can do better than that. Let's put our hands together. I'm Pastor Eugene. I, too, want to welcome all of our first-time guests, if you're with us today for the first time. And I know as we opened the new building here and our church kind of grew a bunch, so we've got, you know, we're all kind of joining together this new season. And we kind of pulled into a train depot and new people got on, and we're still on this journey together. And I want to welcome our first-time guests on behalf of Heidi and I and our staff. One more time, put your hands together. We're so grateful you're here. One time a year, one time a year, we do what we call a legacy offering. That's where we ask each and every family to bring their very best sacrificial gift that they possibly can. One time, just a check, cash, offering. In the past, we've always used that to build facilities. Ta-da! Last 2 years, We raised $2 million on one occasion, $3 million on another occasion of the legacy offering so that we could be in this very building. That was all the other five campuses helping us, because there's no way we could have been in this place by ourselves. How many of you thank God? And they're not here today, but I'll tell them. Would you just show them some appreciation, our spiritual family? But this year's unique. This year's different. And I am so excited about it. In fact, the last couple of years, Opelousas was on the receiving end. And I was so excited when Pastor Jacob said, let's get outside of our walls. Let's go to Malawi. And I'm going to share with you a little bit more about the details of that. Let's go to Haiti. And then let's do some local outreaches in our own communities. And you'll hear a little bit more about that as well. So this year's legacy offering doesn't go to anything to do with Our Savior's Church, except it goes to build a church in Malawi. It goes to build a special needs orphanage in Haiti. And then it also goes to do local outreaches at each local campus. And when you came in today, you got the card, and you can see from each campus what each emphasis is going to be on these cards. And so next week when we come together, I want you to pray. In fact, I'm going to pray with you before we leave today. That the Holy Spirit would just speak to you. I have a personal goal. Somebody asked, Pastor, what do you think we could do here in Opelousas? I said, I'm hoping we get 300,000. We're trying to raise 1 million. I'm hoping in Opelousas we will give 300,000 to the pot. Now, let me do the math for you. On any given Sunday, we average about 1,000 units, giving units. In other words, there's about 1,000 families, could be a single person, could be a family, that participates in giving, in generosity. Well, do the math. 1,000 units, 300,000. So we would need each family, giving unit, to give $300. If they gave $300, we could get 300 times 1,000 equals 300,000. I know there's families that can't do that. I know that. This is not about equal gifts. It's about equal sacrifice. So you might be here and your family, Pastor, we could only do $25. But there may be another family that could say, but we can do $600. And there may be another family that says, we can do $1,000. There might be another that says, I can do $5,000. There might be another that said, I could do $10,000. We have families in here that could write a $30,000 check to give. And if we all do our part, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice, if we all participate, then how many of you know we can do that 300,000? Can I get a good amen? It ain't for us, baby. That's what excites me. It's for the poor. And if you missed last week's message, please get the podcast. It's for the poor. And there are some promises. If you'll take care of the poor, then God says, I'll take care of you. How many of you want a partnership with God? You really want God on your side. A partnership. He said, look, if you'll tend to the poor, I'll tend to you. If you look after them, I'll look after you. And what a great opportunity we have this year. And that's what excites me. We're not on the receiving end. We're on the giving end. And the scripture says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you got to give the Lord praise for that. Amen? So we're excited about that this year. Let me go ahead and jump into the message today. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you had a great one. How many of you ate too much? It's called gluttony. It's a sin. So go ahead and Lord, forgive them. I absolve you in Jesus' name. And one time a year is not too bad. And so I want to talk to you today. I want to share a principle that a pastor friend, an older gentleman, pastor friend, taught me about almost 25 years ago. And it stuck with me through the years. And I've said it so many times that, you know, when you say something so many times that you learned 25 years ago, you think you came up with it. But I'm not the originator of it. And this, here was the principle. Let me teach this to you because this could change your life. Just this part. Ready? Nothing happens until somebody says something. Say that with me. Nothing happens until somebody says something. Now, by the way, that principle will work. It works in your marriage. It does. Nothing happens until somebody says something. Husband, you could be upset with your wife. And you go outside in your shop, and you talk about her, and you build up resentment in your heart, and you want it to change, but nothing changes. You know, nothing happens until somebody says something, until you go and have that conversation. Say, baby, can I talk to you just for a second? Something's been bothering me. Until you say something. Girls, same works to your husband. How many of you know there's things that bother you about him? Go ahead, raise your hand. You're in church. Yeah, and you're going, when is he ain't never going to change? How many of you know nothing happens until, oh, I could tell you 100 stories where Heidi's pulled me aside, probably on date night, most of them. She goes, can I share something with you? And I'm going, oh, no. And she goes, this really bothers me. And when she says it really bothers me, and then I go, oh, baby, I'm sorry. I start repenting before I even get to the punchline. I'm sorry. I'm such an idiot. You don't even know what I'm going to say. I know, but I am. And, you know, she'll say, this bothers me. And I go, baby, I'm going to try to change that. Nothing happens until somebody says something. And I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about some miraculous conversations that have gone on. And I want you to see the power of conversations, the one-on-one conversations that we have, you have, and you're going to have them, you're going to have some today as we walk out of here. But I want to share this with you. Theologian Reinhold Niebuhr said this, nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. And I start talking about legacy, what you're going to leave behind. I don't want you to get short-sighted. I don't want you to think about next week or next month. I want you to start thinking about future. I want you. I'm over 50. I'm 54. I'd like to think I look like I'm 45. I'm dyslexic. 45. But I should get a good amen right there. I didn't get any amens. It's a good chance to encourage your pastor. How many of you are over 50? Let me see your hand. Wave at me if you're over. Okay, that's all the old people. But if you're over 50, I see y'all up there in the top. If you're over 50, you do start thinking about these things. And the trick is, and I've said to my children, look, you got to start thinking about the future now. You got to think about it now. And I know if you're a parent, you've tried to do this too. You're trying to tell your kids, no, put it away now. Save now. If you'll say no to things now, you'll be able to say yes to things later when everybody else has to say no. You're going to have to say no at one end or the other. So you'd rather say it now, no, and put it away, and it will pay dividends in the long run. And that's all legacy really is. It's making the investment now. And then if we make the investment now, then you're going to see it pay off in the long run. That's what legacy is. It's long term. And we're going global, and we're going local as well. And you're going to see the power of conversations. And I'm going to show in just a second. And I'll give you some examples. It was us going to Malawi, You know, well, I'll share that with you later, but you're going to hear conversations. Next week, you're going to hear from Michael and Mandy Reisner, who just happens to be my brother. He's not only my brother by blood, he's my brother by being born again. He's my brother in Christ and my sister in Christ. And years ago, probably 10 years ago, Mike and Mandy had a conversation with a pastor. They didn't know where they were going to go. They didn't know what their future held. They came to a, kind of a crossroads moment. And they had a conversation with a pastor. And the pastor says, hey, why don't you come along? I'm about to go to Haiti. And Haiti had just had one of the world's worst earthquakes. And he said, we're going to go over there to see what we can do. And they didn't know what their next step was in life, flew over, got there, and just got their heart broken and messed up. And now we get to partner this legacy with, I think, probably the best missions organization in all of Haiti, and one of the best orphanages in all of Haiti. And we have that opportunity now. But it began with just a conversation, because nothing really happens until somebody says something. And I want to talk to you about those kind of conversations. I want you to lean in a little bit. We're going to just show a video real quick. You're going to see just a very handsome man, and we just want to share a few thoughts with you. I think the thing that I'm most proud of Our Savior's Church, just being here over 18 years and watching, I think we've answered the bell. Just whenever something happened that there needed to be an answer, I'm so proud of our church. We've always rose to the occasion. The floods of 2016 are, I think, an incredible example when our area was devastated and Our Savior's Church rose to the occasion. I think probably answered what does it mean to have a lead church in a community. We don't know what that means, but we did that. And to rescue people, and then to turn right back around with Love Acadiana and 8 Days of Hope to not only rescue, but then to be a part of the rebuild effort as well, to I think over 300 homes in our community. And that's what makes me proud of our church. Every time the bell was rung, it's like we came out of the corner again. I can remember probably 17 years ago, Pastor Jacob Michelle talking about single mamas in our church, you know, saying they're the modern day widows. And I can remember sitting at Charlie G's restaurant with 18 single mamas. And then to think last year, I think there was over 500 and plus single moms across and widows across our fellowship, and just to be able to light up their world and not only do a banquet for them and celebrate them, but throughout the year, all the things that happens in a single mom's life that we're able to be a part of. And so when you see that, and it started with our school system, and how could we be a part? And, all the way from renovating a school 7 or 8 years ago and doing one of those every year to last year to love our schools, 3,000 volunteers, 8 schools in one day, well over $1 million invested into our community. Our Savior's Church answers the bell. And I think that's what I'm most proud about after 18 years. But the bell's still ringing. And as we've talked about as pastors and even our own local communities, because each of the campuses are in different communities and there's different needs and there's different bells going off, and started talking about what could we do in the prison systems. I know from many of our campuses, there are guys and girls that were sitting on a Sunday that are now locked up. And then there's those that are locked up, waiting and looking for a bridge, looking for a spiritual family. What could we do? I know there's a Hope Center in St. Martinville. We talked about rebranding and relaunching and restarting, tutoring kids, and how could we be a part? Just another bell ringing, you know? And you hear of the homeless situation in our region, and how could we be a part of that? Foster care, seeing that need. And that's what excites me. We can't meet every need,
but we can meet the ones that are in front of us. And I think this year's legacy, when we said, let's don't build anything for us, but let's get out, Pastor Jacob said, let's get outside and let's go meet some of these needs in our community. I think that's what excites me the most. And when we start talking about legacy, a future without you, still influenced by you, I think this could be our finest moment.
Nothing happens until somebody says something. And so I want to talk to you about some of these incredible conversations. And we're going to look at Jesus as really our example. I mean, he's our sample cookie. And we're going to look at that. But I want to just read this quote from Thomas Aquinas, who once said that when you want to convert somebody, when you want to bring someone to your side of view, your point of view, you have to go to wherever they're standing. You got to take them by the hand and you got to guide them to your point of view. You don't stand across the room and shout at them. You don't order them to come over to where you are. You have to start where they are and work from that position. And he said that's the only way to get people to come to a different point of view. And I want to go look at the scripture at one of those conversations. We're going to look at Jesus. He's going to have a conversation with a woman. And I want to just take you there now. I want to take you to the book of John, chapter 4. I'm going to read a little bit. We're going to go verse 3 through 19 out of the NIV. In verse number 3, so he, Jesus, left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. It's near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw the water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, You're a Jew. And this is important. I'll highlight the yellow, and I'll tell you why in a moment. You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. I want you to go ahead and see the prejudice that was already there in biblical times. Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half-Jew. And they had repopulated with the Assyrians. And so they're half Assyrian, half Jew. If you're a good Jewish boy back in those days, Samaritans were considered unclean. You were not even to associate with them. And so Jesus is sitting at a well with a Samaritan woman who walks by, comes to draw water. Jesus asks her for a drink. In verse number 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Can I get a good amen? And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. Girl, the fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." Let's do the math. She's had five husbands, and the man she's with now is not her husband. That would equal what? Six. The girl got it going. Well, I don't know what she got going anyway. So the man you're with now is, in fact, not your husband. What you have said is quite true. And then, sir, the woman said, I can see now that you are a what? I want you to see the progression. At first she calls him a Jew. Then she calls him sir. And now she's calling him a prophet. By the way, this is free, by the way. You've heard me say this 100 times if you've been around our church for any length of time. I don't care what number you're on, if you've been married once, twice, or thrice. Just make sure this is the last one. Amen? Just whatever one you're on now, make sure this is it. And then one day, I always say once, twice, or thrice. And then one day, a guy pulled me aside outside and said, what if you've been married 4 times? And I said, okay, quad. Anyway, I want to show you something, and we're going to look at this, and I want you to, you're going to get something today. And I'm going to give you 3 thoughts from this story, and let me give you number one. I want you to see the flexibility. Everybody say flexibility. Yeah, Jesus is going to change. In fact, we call Jesus the great physician, which means if you've ever been to the doctor, they don't prescribe the same thing to each and every patient. Each patient is different. Each sickness is unique. And they have to prescribe different things to different people depending on what their ailments are. If you want to call Jesus the great physician, I'm also going to call him the great communicator. That he ends up speaking to whatever people need, wherever they're at whatever time they're at. In fact, it always amazes me. I call it the supernatural hearing. That I'm going to preach one message today, and there's going to be about 1,000 people at this service, about 400 or 500 in the first, 1,000 people today, and many of you are going to hear different things. I don't know if the Holy Spirit takes the sound waves that comes out of my mouth, and while they're going, he bends them. I don't know. But one of you is going to hear one thing. Somebody else is going to hear. It doesn't matter where you're at. The great physician, the great communicator is going to prescribe to you whatever you need. You ever got home in the car and go, what'd y'all get out of the sermon today, kids? And you're going to hear 4 or 5 different things because everybody's going to hear something different. Isn't that awesome? And so I'm going to show you the flexibility of Jesus, how he's preaching, he's speaking to this woman. In fact, let me recap just a little bit. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. So he's giving her the water talk. And she said to him, sir, you don't have anything to drink with, and bam, you didn't even bring anything to go down in the well. And sir, how many of you know she's not picking up what he's laying down? She ain't getting it. And so he's about to switch tactics because he started out with being the Jew. Then he became the sir. And he's gonna flip the script on her. He could have just said, woman, draw the water. And she's going, you didn't bring a bucket. And he said, fine, you're going to hell. He's going to flip the script. In fact, he's going to go from being just the teacher, can you draw me some water, and now he's about to go to prophet. And he's going to lay out her hoochiness. Y'all see what he's doing? He's flexible. He's changing it up on her because she wouldn't get water well, living water. She ain't getting that. That's too far to come. So he's going to go to prophet. Let me help you. I'm so excited about this year's legacy. I can't hardly stand it. But I want to tell you one of the things that we're going to do, I'm very excited about this, is building a church in Malawi, Africa. I hope many of you get to go to Malawi. I hope you do. Maybe some of you may even be a part of it, or the construction of building a church. But let me just say this to you. We couldn't have, 10 years ago, couldn't have said, hey, let's build a church in Africa, in Malawi. Y'all need a church. That wouldn't have worked. That isn't where it started, was it? It started with a conversation of a go-go, the director of the Go-Go Grandmothers, which is go-go, it means grandmother in Malawi, ease. It means grandma. And because Malawi has been stricken by the AIDS virus, there are so many kids that don't have mamas and daddies. And so these grandmothers are now taking 5, 6, 7, 8 children at a time and raising them. So Michelle Aranza was asked, would we sponsor one? She said, I will. She sponsored one. She told a few of our leader women. They said, we want to sponsor some too. Conversation. Nothing happens until somebody says something. Well, that five or six went to the Arise Conference, and now we have over 500 go-go grandmothers that we sponsor that each have 5, 6, 7, 8 kids that they look after. So we sponsored a plethora of them. And then they said, hey, we were wondering, could y'all help us with a well? How many know we could do a well? We did, because of your generosity, we were able to build a well. And then they said, our children don't have a place to go to school. Michelle went over. She goes, they don't have a place to go to school. We can build. Because of your generosity, guess what we did? We built them a school. And then we heard they didn't have a playground. How many of y'all were here last week? You saw the video. Y'all started clapping when you saw the big rock that said Our Savior's Playground. And all the kids looked like Disney World. And on the playground, and we built them. How many of you know if we would have said, let's build a church 10 years ago, that would have been too far. They wouldn't have picked up what we were laying down. But they saw the love. They saw the sponsorship of 500. They saw the well when there was a need. Then they saw the school when there was need. Then they bought the curriculum, or we gave them the curriculum. Why wait? Abstinence with Christian principles. They grabbed a hold of that, and now they're going. Pastor Jacob said the other day, he said, I talked to the director and said, we need a church there. And they said, we need a church. We never thought of that. Let's build a church. Now they're open to have the church there. Isn't that awesome? Flexibility. Nothing happens until somebody says something. $350,000 will complete that project. And I'm so excited about the offering next week. I can't hardly stand it. Can I just tell you, God will speak your language. Wherever you're at, he'll speak. He's going to be speaking to you today. I can prove it to you that he speaks different languages for wherever people are at. We're about to celebrate Christmas. And you might remember when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the declaration of his birth was about to go public. There were shepherds out in the field, Jewish boys. And you might remember who gave them the message that the Savior of the world had been born. Anybody remember? It was angels. Angels appeared to them declaring that the Savior of the world would be born. Because Jewish boys believe in angels. And so he sent angels to declare it to them. But that's not what he sent to the wise men. He sent to the wise men who studied astronomy, he sent a message in the sky. It was called a star. And he showed it to them. So he knew whatever way to get the message to whoever I got to get the message to, I'm going to speak the language that they know so they can all hear the message. Do you see the flexibility of our Savior? What an incredible God. He'll get to you. Let me give you number two. Let me give you the patience of Jesus. Vic, come help me out a little early today. Let me give you number two, the patience of Jesus. He's patient. Even when we're not, he's patient. We moved here 10 years ago, and there's some of you in the room today. I always got to look around a little bit, find out where everybody's at. Some of you in the room today, there's some of you, we met you in the community 6, 5, 4 years ago. And we would say things like, we're Christians too, right? So not just Pastor you, we're Christians. And so whenever we meet people, and we're always going, where are you at, and how are you doing? And man, anything we can pray for? And people always appreciate prayer. Even if they're on the other side of the street, like Aquana said, they do appreciate the prayer. And there's some of you we worked on for a long time, like just planting seeds. You know how you do that? Just kind of plant little seeds. And man, we'd love to see y'all. Oh, yeah, we're going to come. Well, one of the folks we've been ministering to for years and rarely would come to our church. And they'd stop by every once in a while if we were doing a series or something they wanted to hear. And they wouldn't come. And finally, they just got real honest. And they just said, Pastor, we're going to start coming. Really? Come on. They go, we're going to wait till y'all build that church. We just can't go to church at a high school. We just can't do it. And how many of you know the patience has paid off? That God is patient with you. He knew. He knew you were going to be apart one day, but he knew you couldn't do it until you had fine chairs and lights and cameras so you could see me real close. He knew. How many of you know the Lord will do whatever it takes to get you to heaven? He's doing his part. Amen? Amen. Yeah, go ahead. He's doing his part. Watch this. I want to show you. It's why it's important to you. I know some of you, Pastor, you pray for my family. I mean, they kuyons. You know, they're going straight to hell. You can't sit on this side of the street and yell at them to come join you. It's why you got to go to Thanksgiving. I know you didn't even want to go to the Thanksgiving at their house. It's the same every year. You're going, oh, God, we got to go over there. No, you need to go. You need to go over there. You need to be a good example. You need to have a great attitude. And while you're there, you need to be there. You need to be a good example in front of them all. And when you're a good example in front of them, they're going to notice. They're going to see it. And then they're going to go, yeah, they go to that church. Ever since they started going to that church, they got that church. But if they see you enough, see the difference in you enough, your attitude is changing. Your outlook is changing. And they're going to start seeing it. And then soon they're going to have Thanksgiving and they're going to say, well, I guess we ought to say a blessing. Well, I guess we'll go ahead now. Y'all go to that church. Go ahead. And you pray. And then when they're sick, you go visit them in the hospital and you go say, hey, can I pray with you? And they're going to go, yeah, I guess. And then you pray and they start crying. When they cry, you know you're doing good. And you got to keep working. You got to keep being flexible because they're going to call you Jew at first. You're going to that church. Then they may end up respecting you by calling you sir. And then one day they're going to call you to say, would you preach my funeral? Prophet, watch. Remember this. She started by calling him Jew. She went to sir. Then he said, girl, you've had five, and the one you, and then she said, prophet, let me tell you the rest of the story. She runs into town and tells everybody, there's a guy out there who just told me everything I've ever done. Boy, you're talking about a girl with a reputation. Everybody in town knew who she was. There were probably five other women who really knew who she was. And boy, they go, did you hear what happened to Hoochie? And she's telling him there's one out there, and he says he can give water. I'll never have to drink again. I think he's the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for, looking for. The entire town ends up getting up, running out to go to Jacob's well. They're running across the field to come hear Jesus because of the woman's testimony. This is where Jesus turns to his disciples and said, look out on the harvest field. The harvest is ripe. Do not say it's four more months until harvest. They're thinking he's talking about the wheat. He ain't talking about the wheat. He's talking about the people that are running. So watch this. It started out as Jew. Then it went to sir. Then it went to prophet. She goes into town and says, he's the Messiah. And now they're running out, and the scripture tells us that they believed in him, the Samaritans. Now it becomes the Savior of the world. Conversations, nothing happens until somebody. I want you to be patient with your family. God's patient with them. You need to be at Thanksgiving with your couillons. I'm teasing. You need to be there. They need to see a difference in you. You know what the scripture says? Be ready to give an answer when people ask you, why do you have hope? What's up with you? Why are you happy? They don't want to be there either. And that maybe your family would see you as that church, then respect you for your beliefs, sir, and then start leaning in to what you believe and think. And then maybe one day they too will come sit at the seat that's empty right beside you and say, we too want to know the Jesus that you know, because we've seen it work in you. You see the patience of God? The fact is, he was patient with me and he was patient with you before you got here too. And then let me show you, it's why I'm so excited about the work us and our project, our local project, is to go into the St. Landry Parish. You can't stand in here and yell at them to come. Sometimes you got to go to them. You got to cross the street and you got to walk up inside in the world that they live in to say, I love you. I asked Dr. Scott this one time. I said, Dr. Scott, did Jesus have to go through Samaria, or was there another way to Galilee? And he said, oh, in fact, there is another way to Galilee. In fact, the Jews created a route that went around Galilee because they believed that to commune with Samaritans was a sin. They were unclean. So they created a longer route around so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. Everybody look right here. Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. He wanted to go. He saw the need, he heard the bell, and he went to sit at that well to meet that woman. She wasn't a governor. She wasn't a doctor. She wasn't a lawyer. She was a woman that had been married 5 times and is now dating, living with, shagging up, a man that's not even her husband. And that's who God chose to be the key to the city. Look at me. If God could use that woman to be the key to the city, then he could surely use one of your conversations to be the key to our community as well. Are y'all tracking with me? Is this side getting it? Because I feel like this side got it a lot better. Is this, they have a lot more. They seem to have, we got more spirit. How about you? We got spirit. Are y'all good? Okay. Let me give you number 3. The foresight of Jesus. The foresight, the long wind, to look beyond. And I think this is where legacy gets, it's the power of one conversation. You don't know. It was Cindy DeLena meeting with a community leader. One conversation. And out of that conversation was this last summer's 8 schools at one time, over $1 million. One conversation. It was Mike and Mandy having one conversation with a pastor when they were at a crossroads that led them to Haiti. One conversation. Let me give you this story. In April of 1855, Ed walked by the front of a shoe store in downtown Chicago, and he went in to visit a young man that had visited their church. He was a shoe salesman, and he ended up having a conversation with him, not at church, at his job. Walked across the street and met with the young man, and he led him to Christ. His name, the pastor's name was Edward Kimball, and the shoe salesman's name was D.L. Moody. And he led D.L. Moody to the Lord. D.L. Moody would have a conversation with a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman. And he would lead Wilbur Chapman to the Lord. Chapman would have a conversation with a professional baseball player and lead him to the Lord. His name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday would be preaching in 1934 in North Carolina, and a tall, blonde-haired boy got saved that day, and his name was Billy Graham. Now, just want you to see. Billy Graham gets the credit, But it all started with a man named Ed Kimball who was willing to walk across the street and talk to a young man by the name of D.L. Moody. I wonder who's on the next conversation that you're going to have. Because nothing happens until somebody says something. One conversation. Who would think that a woman with a man problem would end up being the key to an entire city coming to know Christ as their Lord and Savior? I'm excited. Thank God for a man named Jude at the Lafayette campus was really the catalyst of starting for us getting in the prison systems. Thank you for Jude. Thank you, Mike and Mandy, for getting on a plane, having a conversation, being open and transparent enough with a pastor to say we're not sure what our next step should be, to see different lives change in Haiti. Thank you, Michelle Aranza, that would have a conversation about a go-go and decide we're going to sponsor. Thank you. I wonder what's next on the next end of one of your conversations. The patience of Christ. I want you to take this with me. Would you just take this card with me? You received one when you came in. I want us to look at it real quick because next Sunday is when we bring our best gift. I'm going to pray for you. Again, we've got folks in here that can't give $25. We got folks that can give $1,000, $3,000. We have people who can write a $30,000 check. It's not equal gifts. It's equal sacrifice. And that we could see over $1 million in one day to go outside of here. That's what excites me. I want you to see it again in our local Lafayette is going to do Lafayette Parish Jail System, Opelousas, simulcasting our Sunday service into St. Landry Parish Jails. Broussard is renovating the Hope Center. Youngsville is projects in the elementary school in their local area. New Iberia, renovating a homeless shelter that needs renovation. And in Midtown, renovating the foster care offices with a foster care emphasis. Global, in Haiti, a special needs orphanage, $300,000. Malawi, constructing new church and school building, and the Why Wait campaign into more of their local schools at $350,000. Can I pray for you right now? Would you just take that, bow your heads? Father, I pray this week we're getting ready to receive our offering next week. I pray, Father, that you would put a number in the heart of every family. Just put a number. Father, we need the $25 gift. We need the $25,000 gift. I pray that you would speak to each one here. We can do this. We can leave a legacy, a future without us, still influenced by us. I pray, Father, you give us the foresight to see. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Thank you for Pastor Jacob and Michelle seeing it. And Father, that we're going to have an opportunity to impact the world. And so, Jesus, I pray for our families that you would speak to them. I pray in your name. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, Christians, would you pray for your row right now? It's the most important part of our service. Maybe you're here today and you walked in and you are far from God. Maybe this is the conversation that could change the course of your life. You're far from God. You know it. You don't know where you'd spend eternity. You're not even sure. You could say, I was christened as a child. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've been a member of a church. But if you died today, you're not sure where you'd spend eternity. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. That's heaven or hell. By the way, do you know how close heaven and hell is? It's not far away. It's a breath away. Whew. You could take your last breath. Your last breath. The scripture says it's appointed man wants to die, and then the judgment. Perfection is the only thing that gets in. The problem is none of us are perfect. And you go, well, then what do we do? That's why Jesus said you had to be born again. What does that mean? It means you invite him into your life to be the Lord of your life. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. He'll wipe the slate clean. It's as if you get a redo, a mulligan. He'll wipe it away. Go, Pastor, you, how do I do that? It's as easy as A, B, and C. You admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners. B, believe that Christ came to live a sinless life and then to die on a cross for the sins of the world. That's yours and mine. To take away our guilt, our sin, and our shame. A member of a church won't do that for you. Baptism won't do that for you. Christening won't do that for you. You gotta say, Jesus, I need you. You gotta invite him. You gotta invite him to be the Lord. And see, just confess him as Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you. If that's you today and you're ready to be born again, I want to pray for you right now. All I ask you to do, no one's looking but me, would you just slip your hand up high? I just want to see who I'm praying for. Would you just slip it up high and say, I want to be born again right now, all over the building. Hold it up high. Don't be ashamed. Hold it up high. I'm ready to be born again today. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hold it up high. 5 and 6. I see it. Thank you. 7. Hold it up high. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 hands and 15 hands. Thank you. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these today. Would you say this with me? Would you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise for that?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.